Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Power Word Share number 96. Today, we're going to talk about obstacles and indicators. Obstacles which stand in the path of recognizing that one is in an abusive relationship. Because once they themselves are recognized, the abuser, they lose their power. So there's certain things that happen that, or it's situations where the one that's being abused is not realizing it and they have to overcome this. So, for example, someone that's abused sometimes learned to overlook the unkindness, to overlook the disrespect and disregard and indifference, and may decide to themselves, it's not important enough to stand up to. It's not important enough to defend yourself against it. There are some things that are upsetting incidents that take place that are denied by their abuser. Often, verbal abuse, control, manipulation were not articulated and defined, so the victim remains confused, or they always feel their feelings are wrong. Or they sometimes forget those upset feelings, because sometimes the abuser could be, from time to time, friendly and even warm and kind. So they forget temporarily that lapse, they forget the abuse that takes place. Often the abuse can be very subtle. The control increases gradually over time, and then over time, as it's gradually increased, the victim adapts to it. It's sort of like that frog that you put in the cold water and then it heats up. They don't realize that it's being heated up. The abuser often controls the interpersonal communications, and the abuser just doesn't talk about upsetting interactions. The one that's abused wants to discuss it, and they block it off. Sometimes the abuser blames their spouse for the upsetting interactions, and the abused person believes them, so they think it's their fault. And again, very often, sometimes they don't have no other experience of a non-abusive relationship to compare to. Sometimes they function very well together. This is a common thing also. They have their respective roles. So, for example, she makes the home, she raises the family, and he does his own job of taking care of things from work and other things. So the abusive nature of the relationship is overlooked because there's a certain functionality that's there that's taking place. The house is running more or less, and things are happening, and Shabbos is still whatever the routine of Shabbos and whatever else it is. So they realize that things are, each one's doing their own role of doing their things. So the upsetting, abusive nature of the relationship is sometimes overlooked. Or they may be so absorbed with raising the family or raising the child or developing a career that they ignore the problems in their relationship. They say to themselves, oh, well, there's nothing perfect anyway. So, this is what it is, or this is my peckle, so on and so forth. And that's not a healthy thing. If there is real abuse taking place, there has to be a recognition of it, and then you speak to mentors and feeling situations of how to handle it, to stay, to go, or whatever the case is. I know it's complicated, but you have to realize that it's going on. There are times that the abuser is not abusive, so the victim will forget those bad times. Sometimes the victim is so stunned or thrown off balance that they can't think clearly about what's actually happening to them. And also, their reality has never been validated. So if other people don't see the abuse, it doesn't seem real to them. Again, because abusers tend to be kind to other people, not to their own spouse who they're abusing. So they think, hey, everyone else thinks he or she is a nice person. What's wrong with me? Or they believe that they're being rational, and they have other reasons for saying why they're saying. And the victim sometimes believes their perception is wrong. Or they may believe that you know, if they behave a little differently, if they become better, maybe their spouse will really love them and treat them better. And or, here's a big one, that a victim sometimes thinks that when their spouse is angry, they somehow hurt them and cause them to be angry. So in summary of everything we're saying here is that the victim often does not realize that an abusive relationship is here. They don't realize that the other person seeks that power over mentality. that they're the one lacking empathy. And because you have the empathy, you can't comprehend that the other one doesn't. And it's very hard to accept that. Often the victim of the verbal abuser does not recognize the verbal abuse for what it is until it changes in its intensity. So if the person does recognize the abuse and confronts the abuser is unwilling to change, and they will sometimes intensify their aggression in the attempt to regain control. So sometimes that happens. A victim confronts finally the abuser, and the abuser will intensify their aggression, will intimidate the one who's being abused with angry rages or manipulatively play on his or her feelings that they're ruining the relationship and so on and so forth. So it's very important when you suspect possibly that there is this unhealthy dynamic going on is to record your experiences and your feelings as accurately as possible. And some questions you may ask yourself is, how often do you feel upset about what is being said or not being said to you? What is going on in your life at the time? Are there others present when this is taking place? Are you usually alone with your spouse when this upsetting stuff is going on and these hurtful words are being said? What do you actually feel when there's an upsetting incident with your spouse? Do you feel confused? Do you feel surprised? Do you feel hurt? Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel diminished? Do you feel threatened? You know, and how you respond to it. So there's various patterns, and we're going to discuss various patterns that take place. One pattern of verbal abuse that often happens is it rarely occurs in public. Verbal abuse, like physical abuse, often occurs behind closed doors. Even if there's a house full of people, the verbal abuse may occur when others have left the room and the spouse is alone with their abuser spouse. Because secrecy is the key to this abuser's power over type of mentality. Secrecy intensifies also the partner's confusion because he's nice to everyone else, so in my reality, maybe I'm just not seeing things straight. The abuse may occur when a child is present. And if it occurs in public, it's disguised. So others will say it's justified or the meaning is known and so on and so forth. Now, sometimes if it goes public, that's a sign of an escalation or impending physical abuse. So here's an example. Nan is Nancy, I guess. Nancy, married to Ned, a successful executive, shared this insight. Nancy said, "I was wondering why I felt unhappy around Ned, because friends said I was married to such a nice guy and how lucky I was. Then, as I thought about it, I realized that Ned had never acted the same when they were around. And I really was stunned when I realized that he must know what he's doing, or he wouldn't keep it secret." This author, Patricia Evans, who wrote this book, Verbal Abuse of Relationships, says that many of the women that she interviewed were told by friends and relatives that their mates, their husbands, were really, really nice guys. In one case, the abuse was so severe and so threatening that it was like a prisoner of war experience described by two therapists. But the woman's family, the victim's family, could not accept the reality of her experience. To them, the abuser was just a very, very nice guy, because the abuser never acted the same way around them as he had when he was alone with his wife. So that's one pattern, the secrecy, rarely occurring in public. The second pattern is when the victim may recognize in verbal abuse is that the interactions that upset and hurt and confuses her, saying her again, but it could be both ways, is unexpected. Incident occurs when the victim feels that everything is fine. There's no arguments, no other indication, and all of a sudden, boom, they're enjoying, they think they're having a pleasant time, and something would happen, and they'll feel sick inside all of a sudden. You know, they'll say something, they'll right away blow up, like in the most unexpected times, and throwing the victim off guard. That's another pattern. A third pattern is when the victim may recognize in the verbal abuse that when they get upset and hurt by their partner is when they're feeling most happiest, enthusiastic, and successful. Very often, when the victim is in a good mood, feeling great about things, feeling happy about things, that's when the abuser will be more inclined to rip through the abused and smash them down. They can't tolerate that happiness and that self-confidence that they feel. Sometimes they'll say something really nasty. Sometimes they'll put it down as a joke where they feel denigrated. They cannot tolerate the abused being happy. So they abuse right then when they are happy, enthusiastic, and successful. That is when the abuser will target their kill. Until the abused often says that they have a fear now of letting their spouse know when they're happy. Deep down, I may even be afraid of becoming happy, because if I act happy, the abuser, my wife, my husband, will smash me down. That's another pattern, a sick pattern of an abuser. They can't stand the simchas achayim that's in the abused. So right then and there, they'll smash it down, causing the victim to be even afraid to express their happiness or their good mood. Another pattern is that it seems familiar. In other words, it may be a reoccurring incident in different ways. No matter what I do, he treats me as if I'm the enemy, pretty much. I realize that if I express a thought, my husband would argue against it. If I was waiting for an important message, he would forget to give it to me. If I told him I was unhappy about something, he would get mad. Underlying it all, it seems like he thought that I was his enemy. That's another pattern where the abuser makes it look that and have it feel that their spouse, the victim, is their enemy. Another pattern is that the victim may recognize in verbal abuse that the interaction that upset them or hurt them or confused them is because the abuser has a disregard for their interests. They couldn't care less about what they're interested in. Anytime they express an interest in something, they put it down. It's a nothing. It's a ridiculous that you think this way. It's a crazy habit. A crazy hobby that you have. I don't see why anyone would enjoy it. And they feel bad. The victim feels bad about their own likes and dislikes about certain interests that they have because the abuser constantly bashes them down. Another aspect is that the abuser is never interested in reconciliation. They don't want to make up. They're not interested in apologizing. They're not interested in trying to approach to reach an understanding. You know, they will never come and say, okay, let's talk about what's wrong and work things out. They'll never do that. They could, maybe if they're forced in therapy, whatever it is, they'll pretend, but that doesn't happen in any real way. Another pattern is that they may recognize in the verbal abuse that in between these interactions that upsets her or hurts her or confuses her, the relationship seems to be functional. Meaning as a couple, they may go out sometimes, they may shop, they may complete household tasks, sometimes without abuse, and they'll forget what happened, and then, even as the previous day, and then the victim imagines that they, you know, either they were overreactive when the abuse took place, or you know, just accepting it the way it is. Very often it makes them feel isolated. There's a sense of isolation that comes with abuse. And the experience between the abused and the abuser in the way they define the relationship is very, very different from one another. In other words, if you have an explosive abuser, they're going to say, I'm easygoing. A cold, different abuser will say, no, we have a good relationship. An argumentative and opposing abuser may say, no, they're the victim is the one that's always trying to start a fight. So that's another pattern. And so there's many different patterns of verbal abuse that we mentioned here that is very unpleasant to think about and to talk about, but of course it's necessary to be aware of and to just to be careful based on this, to catch it, that other people see it, that they could catch it, and to prevent it in every way possible. Bracha v'atzlacha.